Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Hi, this is your host, Dr. J, welcoming you to the Social Network Show. Known here as Dr. J, I'm an experimental psychologist, and with co-host Jim Nico of Social Network Intermedia, I'll be taking you into uncharted waters today. This will be the first time we've considered how the glut of comments or chatter on social networks and media might be used to inform investment decisions. I'm going to introduce today's guest, but not to worry if you don't understand all of it, because I'm going to have him explain everything. You will be hearing from Chris Camillo, a pioneer in social information arbitrage investing. He's the author of Laughing at Wall Street, and in 2006, he used social information analysis to invest $20,000 in the stock market, and in just over 3 years, grew it to more than $2 million. Not a bad rate of return. He speaks regularly on the ability of social chatter about the stock exchange to predict which stocks are going to do well. He is going to tell you today about how he uses social chatter to spot and analyze investment opportunities and how your individual trend spotting network can help you buy low and sell high. Chris, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Thank you, Jane. Happy to be here.
And welcome from Jim Nico. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chris, I must ask, are you still laughing at Wall Street?
Yes. I guess I'm laughing at Wall Street. I think more ordinary folks like myself are every day. You know, I like to think of this time as really the golden age for self-directed investors. And, you know, I'm not sure if a lot of people understand what that word means, but a self-directed investor is someone that invests for themselves. And social media is playing a very large role in the acceleration of the self-directed investor. You know, I look at the last several decades, and I've seen what I consider to be a paradigm shift away from professional money management towards self-directed investing. And I think that really the last few years, that trend has started to accelerate. I don't know if you remember the birth of CNBC. I was a kid when the network just started, but I think that is really when the beginning of this kind of, you know, shift started, with CNBC and the mass adoption of discount brokers like E-Trade and Ameritrade and Scottrade today. It's amazing how new this world is. You know, 25, 30 years ago, very few people invested for themselves. Now millions of people have gained the level of competence and really enjoy investing for themselves.
I just thought of, you know, the title of your book, Laughing at Wall Street. By Wall Street, then, you're referring to the professional money managers?
No, I think, you know, when I say the word Wall Street, what I'm referring to is the institution of Wall Street, which is the concept that Americans and people at large really need to hand over their money to an institution to do something that they can very easily do themselves now more than ever, thanks to technology, thanks to, you know, computers and exchange-traded funds. It doesn't make sense for us to be handing over what is essentially really, you know, tens and hundreds of billions of dollars in fees to perform no better than statistical randomness when it comes to to the value that we get for that money, right? It's one thing. You know, Wall Street does a lot of great things. There's a lot of amazing people, smart minds on Wall Street, and there are a lot of sectors on Wall Street that are doing amazing things for capitalism and our economy. But managing portfolios and stock picking are the least of those things that Wall Street does that are really positive and give us a return on our investment. On our investment in terms of fees?
Well, I think one concern that a lot of people have in recent years is the damage that large brokerages and banks have done to the economy, especially to the middle class. Do you think that this, your individual guided investment addresses that as well?
Well, yes, it does, because listen, they can only do damage if they have money to do damage with, right? So, you know, when you hand over hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars blindly, which we do on a regular basis, mostly through 401k programs, and there's a lot of great elements to the 401k program, but ultimately that's a program where we don't have any decision-making ability over how our money gets managed. While we get to pick from six or seven different funds that our company offers to us, and all of those funds usually come with an excessively high internal management fee. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have the ability to say, hey, I want to invest in my 401k, but I'd rather invest in an exchange-traded fund that charges just 0.2% management fee a year and let a computer give me a balanced portfolio that, by the way, does exactly as well historically as an actively managed portfolio that's charging me 1.7% a year. Now, the difference between that 1.7% a year and 0.2% on $1 trillion is quite a bit, right? And more than that, the money ultimately floats into areas where people have the ability to make bad decisions with our money. And we don't have control over our money. That's not the way the system works. And thanks to, in a large part, this trend towards self-direct investing, which is starting to accelerate, I think this landscape looks very different in 15 or 20 years. And I think people empower themselves to understand, you know, what they do with their money and how they save for their retirement, hopefully. And I think information is a big part of that. And where social media really comes in is the flattening of information. Wall Street has always been about information and protecting information. And the reason why we're here today is because over the last, you know, 5 or 6 decades, we the people did not feel that we had the proper information to invest our money, and now that information curve has begun to significantly flatten, especially with social media channels.
So, Chris, a question from my experience. I traded on the CME for a while, the futures market, especially trading in currencies. And my question, I guess, is beyond technical or fundamental analysis and maybe even beyond price versus trend, I guess what I'm asking, what I'm most curious about is in a trade, just like in particular, like just for a real quick example, say someone was going to make a trade in the currency market and there was the amount of money it would cost me to make a trade. How much transparency? I mean, I'm trying to understand what you're saying, and I so far it's fascinating. But how much transparency is there in the markets for the little guy? You know, like real prices, you know, in other words, could I buy, you know, the yen versus the dollar at anywhere near the price that, say, an institutional or a bank could buy that, you know what I mean? That's just from my experience.
Well, you know, I can't speak specifically to your example. I've never been a currency trader. that's not my area of expertise. I can speak more proficiently towards equity investing, which I think is a bit more relatable to most ordinary people.
Okay.
Investing in companies, investing in products, investing in things that we we have some understanding of. And, you know, in terms of what you can buy those assets for, it's a completely level playing field now.
Cool.
Right? And the commissions, as we all know, what used to cost us, you know, maybe $300 or $800 to get in or out of a security, and it was a very vague process as to exactly how that happened, right?
Yeah.
So we used to hand our money over to a brokerage house and, you know, didn't understand what happened with all the tickets going from one person to another down to the exchange floor. Wow, these guys are providing a tremendous amount of service to get me that stock, right? thanks to technology, we can now go on, you know, Scottrade, Ameritrade, E-Trade, and buy and sell a stock for about $7. And even if you're making a $2 million investment, it still costs you about $7 to get in and out of that investment. So the transaction cost have gotten to the point where the markets are very accessible. But I think more importantly, it's about information. You know, if you're an ordinary person in Dallas, Texas, like I am, and you have an interest in investing, do you have access to the same information in a timely manner as a professional that does, maybe who's trading at Goldman Sachs, right, on Wall Street? And that is, I think, the most important piece of information. And, you know, where, you know, even 15 or 20 years ago, Wall Street had an inherent advantage in terms of getting that information quicker and faster. I think today with social channels, anyone has the ability to get this information as quickly as anyone else. And I think there's two types of, you know, information type investing. You know, when I say social investing, social information arbitrage, what I'm saying is the investing based on information that you think is meaningful to a publicly traded company, information that will ultimately drive a publicly traded company's stock price higher or lower. In instances where you think you have that information and not everyone does. And we as ordinary people now have the ability to mine data and to mine Twitter to find that information about companies, information about products, information about brands. Listen, Wall Street spends an incredible amount of money to get in our heads to understand what the next big trend is, where we're going to be shopping in 2 months or 3 months, or where we're shopping this month even, right? We have that information in real time. We actually are the people living our lives buying these products. We see what's happening around us, and through social media, especially Twitter, we have the ability to see the world unfolding in real time, okay? This is not an analyst report anymore, right? it's not an analyst report you have to pay, you know, $5,000 a month for. We can actually get on Twitter for free and see the world unfolding in real time as it pertains to trends and brands and products and how those products are impactful to publicly traded companies that benefit from them. And that's what I do. In a sense, it's extraordinarily simple. But you have to believe that you can do it because it's a relatively new thing. And I try to inspire people that it is that simple, trading on information where we have an advantage over someone who might be more financially minded, you know, stuck on other types of analysis, such as fundamental or technical, which I think are very old school, relative to the type of information analysis that I do.
And I noticed on your website, which is chriscamillo.com, correct?
Yes, or laughingatwallstreet.com, either way.
Okay, that you mentioned learning to identify game-changing information hidden in everyday life while watching TV, reading tabloids, working at the office, shopping at the mall, eating at restaurants, driving to the carpool or the carpool to soccer practice, and just paying attention to the interests and trends in your own life. So let's go into that a little bit more about how you really do that with your program, and we'll take that up in the next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show. And Jim Nico and I, Dr. J, are talking with Chris Camillo, author of Laughing at Wall Street. And Chris, thank you for being with us today.
Welcome.
We are going to talk a little bit more about trend spotting, which is fascinating to me because it's really a part of that adoption curve, you know, when you have that bell curve with the early adopters and so forth. And so that's really where trends begin. So how does a person go from just browsing through Twitter to actually being able to use social information to make some decisions as to what would be a good investment?
Okay, so it really is living your life the same exact way as you always have. So you remain on social media, you check your Facebook account, you check Twitter. This goes, of course, way beyond social media in the way that you live your life, just immersing yourself in pop culture and eating out and watching people and what people are doing and what trends are happening. The difference is you have to slowly learn how to retrain your mind to start to observe the things you see and connect things that you see with potential investment opportunities. So I'll give you a couple of examples.
Okay.
I'll give you one example that's offline. I'll give you one example that's online with social media.
Great.
So, you know, did you guys see the movie Avatar a few years ago?
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I saw the movie Avatar as well. I saw that movie in an IMAX theater. And prior to seeing the movie Avatar, I would visit IMAX theaters maybe once every 4 years, I don't know, for some weird film where it made sense to go to an IMAX,
right?
Now, you know, I walked out of that movie and realized, I said, you know, this really is the future of filmed entertainment. You know, this 3D type of film, right? And anyone could have walked out of the theater after seeing Avatar and realized that, you know, there's probably going to be a lot more films like Avatar. Maybe not as good, but there will probably be a lot more 3D films as a result of the amazing breakthroughs that this film did for 3D. And if there are a lot more 3D films, does that mean that someone like yourself might just end up visiting an IMAX theater more than every 4 years? Hell, you might visit a theater maybe once a year, maybe even twice a year you might go to an IMAX theater if there's a lot more of these big 3D films. So, you know, lots of guys on Wall Street saw that movie and walked out of the movie and went home and continued to do their fundamental and technical analysis and went to their jobs, at Wall Street firms. But as ordinary people, we have the ability to make that connection and make that connection quicker than even someone whose job it is to understand the impact that those types of things have on publicly traded companies. So eventually Wall Street made that connection. There were analyst reports, there were financial journalists that came out and said, hey, you know what, this whole 3D movie trend is going to be good for IMAX, the publicly traded company. And IMAX stock went up. But it took many, many weeks for Wall Street to make that connection. That's a connection that we can make in real time the second we walk out of that theater on Friday afternoon or Friday night and be placing a trade on Monday. Okay, now let's talk about another example, but on social media. A few years back, I was reading Facebook, as I do a few times a day, and one of our good family friends that had twin boys at the time put a post on Facebook. And the post was, wow, my twins were silent, dead silent, for maybe the first time since they were born this morning, and I got really worried and went running through the house to see what went wrong. You know, did they fall out of a window? What happened? And it turns out that they were watching this new show that just started airing on Disney Channel this morning called Chuggington, and they were obsessed with it. I think it's going to be their new favorite show. So a whole bunch of other moms started chiming in and posting on that Facebook post, right, adding comments. And they were all saying similar things like, I know my son watched it this morning as well. He's obsessed. You know, this is going to be his new favorite show. And I must have seen half a dozen moms say the same thing via comments on that post. Now, okay, so an ordinary person would read that, and you'd go on with your day. The difference is, and what I teach people to do in Laughing at Wall Street, my book, is I teach you how to retrain your mind that when you read something like that, you think, okay, is there a connection here? Is there some publicly traded company that could benefit or that would benefit negatively to what I'm reading? And so when I read that Facebook post, I immediately researched the company that made Chuggington. It was a small publicly traded company on the London Exchange. I think they had maybe 12 or 13 employees. The name of the company was Luderham. And the very next day, I bought stock in that company. Well, guess what? Within a couple months, the show Chuggington became a huge success. They got a big toy line at Toys R Us. It became a success in North America, and the stock went up. I think the stock went up 40 or 50% over the next few months. But this is the type of investing that anybody can do any day of the week. I've been investing like this for 8 or 9 years now. I did turn $20,000 into $2 million from 2006 to 2010, making 2 to 3 investments a year. That's it. 2 to 3 investments a year based on things I saw over the course of my everyday life as I slowly got better at retraining my mind to pick up on more and more of these trends. And, of course, there's a due diligence process. It's not just seeing something and investing. And a big part of my book is teaching you, once you see something that you think could move the needle for a publicly traded company, how do you know if that's a good investment or not? And there's certain things that you have to do. You have to understand if Wall Street and the investing public already has that information. You have to understand if there's any other information that could impact that stock that's more important than the information that you're trading, right? And I teach you how to understand, is there an investment opportunity there? And ultimately, you might go through maybe 100 or 200 what I call ideations or observations over the course of your everyday life to get to 1 or 2 investments. But at the end of the day, making 1 or 2 great investments a year, truly great investments a year, will have an extraordinary impact on your personal portfolio, right? So even if 95% of your portfolio is in diversified exchange-traded funds, and that's what I teach people to invest in because they're very low cost, and you have a well-balanced portfolio for retirement or for savings, even taking a very small piece of your portfolio and learning how to invest for yourself can have a substantial impact on your ability to save and really build wealth quicker. Not only that, it's empowering. And it doesn't take any time, right? You don't have to go and study charts. You don't have to become a fundamental analyst. You just have to learn how to retrain your mind to see your world differently. And you have to learn a few very simple due diligence techniques. And you could start small. You can open up a brokerage account for $100. Uh-huh. You can buy your first stock for $7. Why not do it tomorrow? And by the way, you might wait. It might be a year or 2 years before you make your first investment. But how empowering that is, that if and when you see something while surfing Twitter and you make a connection, this is a huge product trend. Mm-hmm. Like this past winter, one of my big investments was a company, Columbia Sportswear, because they made Sorel boots. I don't know if you know these Sorel winter boots, the rubber with fur on the top. All the celebrities were wearing them at Sundance this year. They sold out at every single store in North America. Well, guess what? Columbia Sportswear went up 18% on earnings day. And a big part of that had to do with Sorel boots selling out and all the retailers upping their orders for next season because they had such an outstanding year. They've been making these boots for 30 years, and they've never been trendy until this last year.
Huh.
Now, that's the type of thing that you can see as a woman, right? All of your friends are going on a ski trip, and they're like, you know where they're selling Sorels? Because they're sold out everywhere. Well, guess what? Believe it or not, a lot of the analysts that were covering Columbia didn't understand just how big this trend had gotten with this one line of product that Columbia Sportswear sold. Uh-huh. They didn't realize how deep the demand was, that retailers are so desperate not to have next season be another season where they have a woman coming in every few hours asking, you know, when are you getting a new order of Sorrels in? Right? So yeah. They're exponentially increasing their orders.
Well, that goes a little towards answering a question that came into my mind, and it's perhaps somewhat personal, but I wondered, okay, so if you may, and what is that percentage return? I don't know if you can even factor it on 20,000 to 2 million. What is it, 10,000%?
Yeah, it's 100x, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's 20,000 to 2 million is 100 times your money. So if you could think of, hey, what if I can turn, you know, $1,000 into $100,000, or if I could turn $10,000 into $1 million, you
right.
absolutely can do it over just
so,
a few years.
So this was not like a full-time job for you, because I have, what I was wondering was, how, why would you leave that and start writing a book, which is a lot of work, and speaking and so forth. So are you saying it wasn't really taking that much time?
No, I ultimately ended up quitting my job because I was making significantly more money investing at that point. Once your portfolio gets to a size of millions of dollars, right, I now make significantly more money from my investing than I did from my employment. I had a job for 20 years, and I no longer have a job. I now invest for myself full time. By that, doesn't mean that I'm, you know, sitting here studying charts all day.
Mm-hmm.
I have the tool sets to be able to invest as a social information arbitrage investor. I believe very firmly that, you know, historically we have fundamental and technical analysis. I believe in 10 years there will be a third leg to that stool, and it will be called social analysis for investing. And social analysis is the most interesting because that's the type of analysis that anybody can do. You don't need to have a financial background or a technical background. It is the financial analysis of the people. And I'm so passionate about it that I wrote the book. And my hope is to really kind of, you know, lead the path for this new type of analysis. I have a software platform that I've been working on that will be out in the future, in near future, that will help ordinary people discover these trends across social media, and help them vet the trends and help them conduct their due diligence. But you don't necessarily need that. You can start right now, by understanding what you need to do. I highly recommend reading my book. I'm not trying to sell books, but it really does teach you everything you would need to know to become a social information arbitrage investor. And a lot of us share ideas with each other. So a lot of the people that actually have bought my book and read it, they share investment ideas with me. I do the same with them. It's an extraordinary community based on social investing that is very new, very exciting. It's just getting started, but it really is the future of investing.
So you are just as active in your investments now as you were with that fantastic first thing that you mentioned with it.
Oh yes, more so. Uh-huh. I'm very much engaged as an investor. It is. I hate to call it a job, but it is my full time thing. It's what I do every day.
Okay.
I'm fortunate. It obviously opens up doors to for tremendous free time to do other things. But it's something that anybody can do. You just have to get started small.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That was Chris Camillo, and the author of LaughingAtWallStreet.com. And thank you for being with us for this edition of The Social Network Show, recorded at the lovely studios of KUNV at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And we'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch with us via the contact link on our webpage at thesocialnetworkshow.com. where you can listen to more interviews and read the latest on our blog. You'll also be able to replay our live show at the 5 p.m. Sundays show on News Talk 720 KDWN, and that is at the foot of our homepage. You can follow us on Twitter at Social Net Show, as well as hear the show on our website or Stitcher.com or iTunes. Check out our videos on YouTube, where our channel is simply Social Network Station. Please be safe until you join us again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.